Good morning, church. For those visiting, I am not Scott Kelly, the pastor. And my understanding is that Scott is on vacation, surfing down on the Outer Banks somewhere, what's left of it, from Florence. And so I'm glad for the opportunity to pinch hit for him. I notice that many times they do not announce guest speakers, it seems to me. I've been here for a while. And so when you come to church, it's kind of like life is like a box of chocolates. You'll never know what you're going to get. But next week, all things being equal, I think Sam is scheduled to preach. So my condolences to those of you who are expecting Scott or Sam, and especially if you were out late last night, either celebrating as the two Ohio State people in the world, or commiserating as the rest of the mid-state might have been doing. I'm glad for the opportunity. I'm not going to be preaching from Ephesians, which is the series that Scott is in. I'll leave that to Sam and to him, if Sam's going to go there next week, depending. I do want to come back around on something that Scott hit on a couple weeks ago that is very much on my heart and at the core of what I think we need to be as a community. The title of the message talks about components of authentic Christian community. Each one of those pieces, of those words are important, especially the authentic Christian community. So I'd like to look at what I think that means and put some ideas forward about what that could mean for us as a local body and see what God would whisper to our hearts and nudge us to move toward. So I'm glad for the opportunity. I have my bottle of water in case the sermon gets unusually dry. I'll take a drink and we'll go from there. Let's pause for prayer first though, okay? Father, we come into your presence here as a people who are gathered together. Some people come week by week and they come in and they go out and they do their duty. Other peoples come with a great deal of anticipation that they'll be able to see other brothers and sisters in Christ and connect and get caught up. Others come and have a longing in their heart for you to show up in the midst of your people. So regardless of why we're here or what is at the core of our motivation, we ask that you would close us in with yourself by your Holy Spirit and let the words have good root and shoot and fruit in our lives. Well, thank you for what you'll do. For these things we pray in the name of Christ. Amen. I want to launch from a portion of Scripture in the book of Acts, chapter 2. If you have a Bible with you, good for you. You're mostly dressed for the day. So whether that's in one of these old-fashioned but very, very important, helpful methods, or if you have to look it up on a phone or whatever, you feel free to do what you need to do. Follow along as we make our way through. There's a study outline. It'll give you an idea where we're tracking today. In Acts chapter 2, I'm going to read verses 42 to 47. And so listen well, follow along, whatever it may be. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone as he had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their numbers daily those who were being saved. There's a desperate need in our world today for the church to be the church. Many times when I speak to a congregation, I greet them as I did you this morning. Good morning, church. Because the church is more than a building, it is a people. It is a people who are gathered together primarily because Jesus Christ has done a work in their heart. They have put their trust and belief in Him and what He says He has done and will do. And we long to be a community together of like-minded Christ followers. But sometimes the church isn't always authentic or Christian or community. So I want to talk about some of those things, particularly in terms of the key components of what that community should and could look like. How does it look? How does it operate? That's where I would like to go this morning. From my study notes from 2 weeks ago, Scott had given us three encouragements for the church. This is not a quiz, but just so you know, I listen. Okay, and I'm sure you do. If not, go to the MP3, 4, 5, 6, whatever it is now, to listen to that. But the first piece that he talked about was invest in the community. When you see that written out like that, you think, what does that mean? I mean, we take some of our money and we put it in a community effort. What is community? Community can be the area in which we live. It can be your local community or mine. But here, I'm sure Scott was talking about the community of faith. Not that we're to be insensitive to the needs of other people around us, but that we pour into the body of Christ in this place as our local community. So I want to come back around on that, and I want to use a word today that a number of years ago I found very helpful, that came from a book that was written by a Christian psychologist by the name of Larry Crabb. And the book was called Connecting. And I think this particular book at a number of years ago did more in my heart and in the local church that I was pastoring to help us understand what is one of the key components of an authentic Christian community. And so I'd like to tell you, first of all, that there's the component of connectedness. Connectedness. The work that God has done to bring us into relationship with one another. And the passage that Scott quoted from Romans chapter 12 is the same one I would go to, where it says, "For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others." That concept of belonging to one another is what community is about. It's a connectedness of our hearts and our lives in the journey as we move along. That connectedness is based on our relationship with Jesus Christ. That's where it starts. You can have connectedness with people on a number of levels. You can do that in your social network. You can do that in school. You can do that in your neighborhood. You can do that at work. Whatever the place is that you work, you are in relationship to other people. It may not be very deep. It may not be intimate at all. It might be just very superficial. But you're connected in some way. You know somebody, or you're familiar with somebody, and you know maybe a little bit about them. There's a sense of connectedness, but that is not what I'm talking about here in terms of connectedness. You can be connected in all of those kinds of things. You can build through the network of family in athletic events and things that you go to participate in. You may have connectedness with other families through those web of activities. But the connectedness that I want to suggest for us today is much deeper than just, oh, I know who they are. I know where they live. I've been to their house. Their kids and my kids are in school together. It's more than that. It's based on a relationship with Jesus Christ. It is that relationship that begins to find the basis for a deeper relationship that we have with one another. So it's not just surface, but it's based upon that initial relationship to Christ. So it's possible that that people can come to a local body like this, and they may be marginally connected or very lightly connected. And so maybe if they come there with a Christianity light version that says once a month is about all they need to do, and so they may say, well, that's my church. I go there once a month. And there are people that take that as their level of connectedness. I don't think that's what God's design or intent is. I think He wants us to go much, much deeper. An intimacy with God and an intimacy with one another. And that even talking about that, sometimes we start to squirm a little bit. If you pull that word intimacy apart and what to just kind of refashion it and say, into me, see, that gets a little bit uncomfortable. Because we prefer that people see us as we present ourselves. Having it all together, no problems, no worries. And so words like vulnerability are words that we just kind of start to squirm when that comes up. Words like openness, honesty become words that we feel like we almost have to hedge a little bit. In this passage of scripture that I read from Acts chapter 2, this component of connectedness is not only based on a relationship to Christ that you find in Ephesians 1, 13 to 14, but it's nurtured by a sense of togetherness. And let me go back to a couple of those verses in Acts chapter 2, and let me get the emphasis on the right syllable, okay? In verse 44, it says, all the believers were together and had everything in common. Verse 46, every day they continued to meet together. They broke bread in their homes and ate together. Get the point? There was a togetherness. It was nurtured by that sense of togetherness. And I believe that as the body of Christ gathers together, in whatever setting, it may be worship, it may be a small group setting, whatever the venue of it may be, I believe that it is entirely the forum in which that nurturing is to take place. And it's not to be taken for granted. It's not to be assumed that everybody's perfect and you don't need to get to know one another and that kind of thing. This sense of connectedness is key for the body of Christ. Now, many of you have been part of this community of faith for a number of years. Some are newer to this community of faith. And so some of you, simply by virtue of longevity in this congregation, know more about one another than some folks who are newer. But I'm wondering if there isn't some need within this congregation to get better connected, not only with people that we've known a long while. It may be easier to do that because you're comfortable. They're like the old shoe that you wear, that slipper. You're comfortable with that, and you know them and they know you. At least they know something about you. But I'm longing for a day in which there will be a more intentional, deliberate step on the part of every one of us to get better connected with those about us. There are people that I still struggle with trying to remember their names and getting acquainted. And when it comes to the children, I'm in a fog. You know, who do you belong to? You know, and there's a point where I just kind of, as you pray for families in the church and get acquainted with them, you become more and more familiar with them, and there's a greater level of connectedness. That's the first component. That's an important component that we need to have in the community. So the question I guess I would ask is simply this. What steps are you taking to get better connected? To get better connected. More deeply connected. That'll involve perhaps participation in some things that you haven't participated in before. That'll be becoming more intentional about greeting other than the three people that you greet every Sunday in that cat herding event that we call welcome. That you just, it's just, you know, kind of thing. And you just tend to connect with the same people. Maybe you are in a situation where you get to meet some other people. I met some people this morning from the metropolis of New Galilee. But I still don't know much about them other than they were friends of somebody in the congregation and they're visiting. But I'm talking about more than just, I know who you are. It's moving to a point where I am willing to say, I want to know you and who you are and where your heart is and what your needs are and how can we walk together to nurture this connectedness with God. Authentic Christian community. In the book that I referenced by Larry Crabb sitting up here on the platform, he talks about what connectedness is. And almost you need to go back a bit. We started an elective class that meets at 9 o'clock downstairs and studied our initial beginnings in the book of Genesis. We're kind of doing a Bible overview. I believe that in the fall of Genesis chapter 3, there was a significant disconnect that occurred theologically. And man has been disconnected from God because of his fallen nature. And even if we were to sit and say, well, it was Adam and Eve's fault, I would say to you that you make the same dumb choices as well. So don't go trying to blame somebody else on that. You and I both choose to make poor choices at times that bring us to that point where we find ourselves in an estranged relationship. Larry Crabb says, disconnection is a state of being where the deepest part of who we are is vibrantly attached to no one. Where we are profoundly unknown and therefore experience neither the thrill of being believed in nor the joy of loving or being loved. One more time, listen to the words and powerful words. It's a state, disconnection, a state of being where the deepest part of who we are is vibrantly attached to no one. Could that be described as a part of the church? We're not connected to anybody. Could there be people who wander in here or come in on a regular basis who would just long for someone to speak life to them, speak a word of encouragement to them, get to know them better, and they come in and go out. Now maybe they want it that way. But that ought never to be a reason for us not to try to invite them to connectedness. Connectedness with a body, connectedness with Christ. And so connection then, by converse, is that meeting where the truest part of one soul meets the emptiest recess in another and finds something there when life passes from one to the other. When we get into intimacy before God and intimacy with one another, there's something that transpires in that a divine connection that occurs where the Christ in me reaches out for the Christ in you and we begin to walk on a journey where life can happen, where joy can happen. That's the component of connectedness. The second component we sang about during the offertory. I think that's what they call that when they take the offering and you sing while they take the offering. Whatever you call that. It was in that word, brokenness. Brokenness is what I long for. Brokenness is what I need. That component is the component of brokenness. Psalm 51 and verse 17. If you want to turn over to that, I invite you to do that, and you'll read it something like this. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, you will not despise. In that brokenness, we find the place in which we admit who we are and our need. If you turn further to the New Testament, to 2 Corinthians, I guess that's how the British say it. We would say 2 Corinthians. And chapter 12, verses 9 and 10, here's the phrase that Paul uses to describe this whole issue of brokenness. He uses a different word, but the concept is the same. Verses 9 and 10 say, "But he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me.'" That involves an admission of our woundedness or our weakness. We don't like to talk about our woundedness, but we're all wounded. We're all wounded. Somewhere along the way in the journey, whether you, before you became a Christian or after, you've been hurt. And sometimes our tendency is not to be open, but our tendency, our natural inclination, as we put it in the study guide, is to protect or hide, to be safe from people, but not safe with people. So we don't like to share when we messed up. We like to share when we got it right, because that looks better. That's visage. That's the way we look. But when in reality, that's not always the way we are, and less often than we would like to think. There has to be an admission of our woundedness. The sacrifices of God, our broken and contrite spirit. That was in Psalm 51, which was David's prayer after he really messed up in committing the sin of adultery. That's woundedness. That's brokenness. We live in the midst of the Me Too movement, and it seems like everything that goes on is hypersensitized to that issue. That's not to say minimizing it at all. It's only saying it's very real. And I suspect there may be more than a few people who may have squirmed this week as they had displayed before them the accusations that were made, one person against another. And there may be men or women who are either longing for something to be able to be surfaced so they can deal with it, or else hoping that something is remaining buried so they don't have to deal with it. Could be a variety of different directions. But in this whole issue of brokenness, we have to admit our woundedness. And beyond that, we also have to accept the wounded. Romans chapter 15. Turn there, read verse 1 with me. Just listen. "We who are strong are to bear with the failings of the weak and not to please ourselves." Now, we who are strong, that might feel like, "Whoa, I've got my life all together." It only means that you're a trophy of God's grace and He's continuing to work on you. You're not perfect. If I asked all the people in the room who are perfect to raise their hand, then we'd start to deal with issues of lying already. So we won't deal with that. But the point is that we're not perfect people, but when a congregation gathers together, they ought to be, they need to be, accepting the wounded who are around us and among us. A number of years ago, I came across a musician. His name was Ken Miedema. He wrote and did a number of songs. The amazing thing about Ken Miedema is he was blind from birth. Amazing story of God's grace. I'd like you to listen to and watch a video piece that was put together, a song that he did called If This Is Not a Place. Listen to the cry of what a body needs to be. If this is not a place, just listen to this for a couple minutes.
Well, if this is not a place where tears are understood, then where shall I go to cry? And if this is not a place where my spirit can take wings, then where shall I go to fly? I don't need another place. Trying to impress you with just your good and virtuous I am. No, 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 I don't need another place for always being on top of things. Everybody knows that it's a sham. Yeah, 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 I don't need another place for always wearing smiles, when it's not the way I feel. I don't need another place to mouth the same old platitudes, 'cause you and I both know that it's not real.
Larry Crabb wrote a second book where he lays out a little better track of what it could look like to be an authentic Christian community, and it's called The Safest Place on Earth. I think that's what people really need. A place where they can come as wounded followers of Christ, hurting followers of Christ, where they can be accepted for who they are, warts and all, and loved on. The final component in authentic Christian community for me is the component of care, caring for one another. Now, the scriptures have a lot to say about our one another relationships. I came across a list of 59 one another relationships. I have to reduce that number by 4, however, because one of them is mentioned several times, and that's greet one another with a holy kiss. And I think that needs some instruction for the young people. So we'll run it down to under 50 anyways. One another kinds of relationships. The component of care. Let me tell you Let me go two directions in this. I'll tell you first what I don't think it is, and then I'll tell you what I think it is. And then I'm going to tell you my dream. And if you're working on the study outline, this is going to come quick. So get your pen and get ready to run. Okay? What it is not, this component of care, it's not merely being congenial, just friendly with people. You can run into that in a grocery store from the checkout person. They're paid to be nice. Someone once told me, ministers are paid to be good. Everybody else is paid for nothing. Or good for nothing, I guess it was what it was. But be that as it may. No, it's more than just being merely congenial. It's more than being cooperative. You put a group of people together like this, and you have so many diversity of opinions and temperaments and things that inevitably you're going to have conflict in a congregation. Somebody doesn't like the kind of carpet that was put down. Somebody doesn't like the color of it. Somebody doesn't like one thing or another. Take your pick. And they try to get along, but sometimes care involves more than just being cooperative. It's more than merely being consoling. You know, something happens to somebody and you say, oh, I feel so badly for you. Do you? Do we? At times I wonder. It's more than merely being a counselor, where sometimes we can come in relationship when Romans 15 says, we who are strong ought to bear with the weaknesses of those weaker than we are. And we say, well, I've got my act together. Let me tell you what to do. It's more than that. Care is not trying to fix somebody. It's allowing the Christ in me by His Holy Spirit to reach out and connect with the Christ in them and let Him do that work within their hearts that is so desperately needed. And caring is not merely conforming to expectations where you have a responsibility and you're expected to do this, that, or the other. That's what it's not. But if that's not what it is, what is it? So let me give you those. First of all, I think care is the provision of a place of safety for broken people. One of the things that is key in providing a safe place is issues of confidentiality. And sometimes it's hard maintaining confidential stuff. Three ministers were in a boat, so the story goes, and there was a Lutheran, a Catholic, and a Baptist. So they were sharing together, and the Lutheran says, well, my problem is that I'm alcoholic. That's where I'm at, and that's my struggle, and that's a thing that I wrestle with. The Catholic says, well, my issue is that I like ladies. And having shared that with their information, they turned to the Baptist guy and they said, well, what's your sin? He said, my sin is gossip and I can't wait to get out of here. So confidentiality is a key piece for us. And so when someone shares something with you, before you share that next along the way, make sure that you're not breaking that confidentiality. Because sometimes that can contribute to the woundedness and the lack of a safe place where we can neither cry, nor seek, nor fly. The component of care is ministry from a place of brokenness. I don't know that this is a quote by Tozer. I think it was. But it's a Tozerism at very least. And he says this, it is doubtful that God can use greatly those who have not been wounded deeply. And all that's saying is, all the things that you've encountered that have been crap and junk along the way, that has wounded your spirit, the Christ, by His Holy Spirit, can work in your heart to become a means of connecting with someone who is wrestling with something very similar to that right now. And that involves everybody, because we've not all been experiencing the same kinds of things. But God may use you and bring you into connection with someone else who you can minister to from that place of brokenness or woundedness. It is giving from a life that's enabled by the Spirit. It is a Spirit-filled, a Spirit-driven, a Spirit-led life that puts us in connection with one another. And the kind of thing that you see somebody and you sense something and you read something, and if we're really attuned to the Spirit of God, it may be His way of nudging us to say, just go over and chat with that person. Just connect with them. Just see what God would do and open up. And it can be in any kind of way where you say, are you okay? You look troubled. I was greeted by someone as they were coming up the steps from downstairs this morning. They hit the top step and they winced. And I said, ooh, looks like that last step created some problem. They said, yeah, it's my knee. Now, I'm not a doc. I'm not a chiropractor. I didn't say, sit down here, we're going to fix this thing right now. But you're aware of a need. So what do we do with that? Maybe I could have stopped the person right there and said, you know, we need to pray about that. But maybe that's not where they were. You need to be sensitive to the Spirit. It's a Spirit-enabled kind of thing, this caring. And it's seeing from the purpose of conforming to the image of Christ. The authentic Christian community is a group of people who together are longing to move toward the work of Christ being manifest in their life, being revealed, so that He works in us to produce and bring about the greater glory of God. Now, I don't know if that describes your experience in the Christian community. Maybe you just like to come in and go out, and that's that. That's all that we need. But if you're looking for something deeper, I think that's what the Christian community is to be about. And the question comes simply, are you ready to allow God to meet you and use you to be His body to a hurting world? Hurting world like the people who might be around you. You need to make sure of your connectedness with Christ. That's the basic starting point. You need to allow Him to heal your brokenness and empower you to become part of a community that is Christ-like to its core. Now, I told you what I wanted to do was tell you about my dream. It was 50 years ago, more or less, I think, if I have the math right, when Martin Luther King gave his famous I Have a Dream speech, where he talked about looking forward to a day when his children could be judged not by the color of their skin, but the content of their character. I was thinking about that, I guess, when I became aware it was 50 years old. That's a scary thought in itself. But I thought, God, what is the dream? What is the dream for an authentic Christian community? And here's what I came up with. I have a dream. A dream that one day the church, the body of Christ, will move from being a place where nice people who generally like each other and who gather for their hour and a half to do their religious duties move to becoming a place where redeemed people come with intentional purpose to worship the Father and serve each other in community. I have a dream that the church, the bride of Christ, will be more than 5 minutes of a how are you greeting to each other, to longer moments of genuine caring and praying with and for each other. I have a dream that the church, the flock of God, will move from program-centered activities that keep people busy to people-centered ministry where the Spirit of God is readily welcomed and actively at work. I have a dream that the church, the people of God, will be a place of attraction, not merely because their facilities are nice or their staff is good, but mainly because God is really among us in Christian, authentic Christian community. That's my dream. I'm not here to direct the dream of Community Alliance Church, but I would hope that somehow that might resonate and it might become your dream too.